Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this fourth Sunday of Easter to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that all of you are here this morning, even though it's a very rainy, cloudy, dreary morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are glad to be able to have this day to rejoice and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a couple announcements. Actually, just want you to be aware of some of the upcoming events. Please read your bulletin carefully and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening. Church picnic coming up in June 10th. Still need volunteers for a vacation Bible school, and meetings are being held to plan for that. You can see Desiree Kitt, if the Lord places it upon your heart to want to participate in that. And the Presbyterian women are having their breakfast installation gathering on May 20th at 10 a.m. Please note all of those, put them on your calendar, and avail yourself of a time of sharing and fellowship and fun. But again, please make sure that you stay abreast of all the events happening here at Awnee Presbyterian Church.
Our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of Acts, beginning at verse 42 and reading through verse 47. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." The word of the Lord. Amen. I think it was Wendell Berry who told the story about the farmer who went to his neighbor, and he went and he asked his neighbor, he said, if you had two houses, would you give me one? And, "Oh, sure," said the neighbor, I certainly would. If I had two houses, I would give you one." "Well," said the farmer, if you had two barns, would you give me one of your barns?" "Yep," said the neighbor, "I would certainly do that. If I had two barns, you could certainly count on me giving you one of them." "Great," said the farmer. "How about a tractor? If you had two tractors, would you give me one of your tractors?" And again, The neighbor said, "Yes, I certainly would. If I had two tractors, one of them would be as good as yours." "Glad to hear that," said the farmer. "Just one more thing. If you had two hogs, would you give me one of your hogs?" And at that point, the neighbor said, "Doggone it, that's not fair. You know I have two hogs." I think that's all of us sometimes. I think we human beings know instinctively that we're supposed to share. We know that we are called to share what we have, especially if we have more than what we need. And a lot of us, let's be honest, a lot of us have more than what we need. You know, I was looking at a sports coat the other day. It was on sale. And, you know, one of the things about the internet, if you look up something online on the internet, and, you know, the next time you turn it on, you know, you have all of these ads that show up all over the place. And so all of these ads of that sport coat started popping up. And not only that, but all kinds of sports coats started popping up on the internet. And I was very, very tempted to buy that sports coat, because every time I turned on the computer, there it was. And then I thought to myself, you know, the last thing you need is another sport coat. You don't even wear all the ones that you have. In fact, if anything, you should be trying to give a couple of them away. But again, it's so difficult for us to share. Sometimes our impulse is to accumulate. Our impulse is to get more and more, and it's so easy for us to forget that as people, human beings, we are called to share what we have. I think it was Dorothy Day who once said that if you have two coats, you've stolen one of them. Because if you have more than what you need, one of them belongs to the poor. But again, how difficult it is for us to believe that and to take that inside of our hearts. We live in a world where some people have way more than what they need. Indeed, have way more than they could even use. There are some people, of course, that have way more than what they need. And then there are some people, a great many people, who barely have enough to scrape by. We've all heard some of the mind-boggling statistics of our world. I was reading something the other day, and it said the average CEO, the average corporate executive officer of some of the major companies makes 300 times more than the average worker. 300 times more. And it said the richest 1% own about 40% of all the wealth. The richest 1% of the world own 40% of the world's wealth. That's the richest 1%. Own 40% of the world's wealth. And it noted someone like Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon, makes $200,000 a minute. While some people are homeless, forced to live in tents, not because they aren't working. Everybody who's homeless, it's not because they're not working. It's not because they don't have a job, but they are homeless because they don't make enough to be able to afford an apartment. And you'd be surprised how many people in our society are increasingly finding it difficult to be able to afford a roof over their heads. Of course, we could go on and on with the statistics. There are many. I'd invite you to just look it up. They're very easy to kind of look up, and you'll find statistics like that. But the fact is that That's simply the way the world is. That's the way the world has always been. Some people, often a very few people, have way more than what they need, way more than what they could even use. And then there are some people, usually the vast majority of people, who have to struggle just to get by. And of course, those who have a lot have all kind of fancy ways of justifying their vast accumulations. But it's this huge imbalance which is the source of much of the world's fear, much of the instability, much of the violence in the world. Because we live in a world where we simply refuse to share. But that's what makes all of us different here this morning. You and I, it's what makes us different. We are different because we are Easter people. We are people who don't just celebrate Easter. We are people who don't just proclaim the good news of Easter, but we are called to live Easter out. We are called to practice Easter. We are called to make Easter a reality in our lives. And some people might say, well, how do we do that? How do we live Easter out? How do we practice resurrection? How do we live into Easter? How do we make Easter a reality in our lives? And that's what our text this morning from the book of Acts is all about. It's about the early followers of Jesus actually living Easter out, actually practicing Easter, practicing resurrection. The early followers of Jesus had this unbelievable good news. They had this good news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. That's what they experienced. That's what they knew. That's what they believed. But they knew it sounded absurd. They knew that no one would believe him. No one would believe that death had been overcome. No one would believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so they said, this is what we'll do. We'll live it out. We'll live Easter out. We'll live it out so everyone can see it for themselves. And that's what they did. They begin to practice Easter. They begin to practice the resurrection. They begin to live Easter out. And that's what we are told in these few verses in the book of Acts that we just read. There's a lot, of course, packed into those five little verses. But if I were looking for one word to kind of sum up everything that those verses talked about, that word would be sharing. The Easter life is a life of sharing. That's what the early followers of Jesus did, we are told. They shared. First of all, we are told that they shared their lives with one another. We are told that they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the koinonia in Greek. But it's just a fancy word of saying that they devoted themselves to the community. They devoted themselves to each other. They devoted themselves to sharing their lives with each other. And that's what the Greek word koinonia means. It means to share your life with others. It means to be in partnership with others. In other words, they understood that you can't live the Easter life by yourself. None of us can do that. They understood that to live as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it really does take a community. It takes a village. It takes a community of people who are willing to share their lives with each other. And that's what a church family is. A church family is a community of people who are willing to share their lives with each other. You know, one of the things about baptism, every time we have one, we ask the congregation whether or not they will support the person being baptized. Will you help to guide and nurture this person in the faith? Will you help them to grow into the faith? Will you oversee their spiritual development? Will you be there for them? We ask those questions because we understand that it really does take a village. It takes a community. It takes people who are willing to share with one another, to share the good times, to share the bad times, to share the joys, to share the pain, who are willing to be there for each other. It takes a community of people who are willing to share. We know from the book of Acts itself that that's never easy because we human beings, we're different. Some of us come from different places. Some of us have different backgrounds. Some of us see things differently. We have all kinds of things that are different, but that's what makes it so incumbent that we share our lives with each other, that we enrich each other. And we know from reading in the book of Acts that it wasn't always easy for the early followers of Christ too. We are told that there were some Christians, Gentile Christians, who were feeling that they were being left out by some of the Jewish Christians, and so they had to get that straightened out. But they were committed to each other, devoted to each other. They were devoted to the fellowship, devoted to sharing their lives with each other. Just like people in this church are devoted to sharing lives with each other. And sometimes I wonder if we recognize how big of a difference that makes when we can share our lives with each other. I remember once in a church I was at in Atlanta, a little lady had came in. She was retired and she decided to come to church in the section of the city where I was going to church at the time. And she was really a great blessing to some of the kids who were there in the church. She would participate in the after school program, and she would teach kids to read, and the patience that she had with the kids. But they really appreciated her being there. They really appreciated her presence there with them, the way she took the time to help them to read, the way she took the time to inquire about what was going on in their lives, the way she took the time to be there for them. She greatly enriched their lives, and they greatly enriched her life. But it was all a part of sharing, being willing to share our lives with each other. And that's what the early Christians did. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Of course, incumbent on that life of sharing also involves the sharing of resources. And that's what we were told they did as well. Indeed, not only did they share the resources, but we are told that they held everything in common. They sold what they had, and they gave the proceeds to the needy, and not a needy person was among them. That's something we got to be careful of. Of course, something we preachers have learned that, you know, not to say too loudly if we say it at all. You know, can you imagine today telling someone that if they wanted to become an officer in the church that they would have to sell all the resources and distribute the proceeds to the poor. Could you see telling anyone that in order to join this community of faith, this community of believers, that you would have to sell all you had and give everything to the common purse so that the needy would be taken care of? And yet that's what the early church did, we're told, at least here in the book of Acts. I know we don't talk about this text too often. It's not a text that's preached on too often. We don't like to, as I said earlier, say it too loudly. We don't have a whole lot of fights in the church about things like this, about what we do with our money. We have a lot of fights in the church about other things. We have a lot of fights about how we live our sex lives, and have a lot of fights about sex, but we don't have a lot of fights about this particular text. But what if we imbued this particular text with the importance that it seems to have here? What if we were serious about sharing our resources with one another? What if we were serious about sharing our resources in such a way that there would not be a needy person among us? Of course, I know there are scholars who point out that this experiment in communal living didn't last too long. And they point out that such a way of living is impractical. I was an economics major in college, and so I'm, you know, familiar with all the arguments and that people make. You can't live this way. The human beings have this tendency to want to own, and if they don't own it, then, you know, we can't, you know, live, you know, rightly and whatever. You know, there are various arguments about, you know, making sure that we hold on to our stuff. But I'm convinced that people who say such things simply don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in Easter. They don't believe in the power of Easter, because if God raised Jesus from the dead, then anything is possible. If God raised Jesus from the dead, then sharing resources would be a cinch. It would be no problem at all. If God raised Jesus from the dead, there'd be no problem. No issue. About being able to share resources. And that's what we are told that the early church did. They shared their resources with one another, and not a needy person was among them. Of course, the early church not only shared their own lives, and they not only shared their resources, but they also shared the life of Christ. And that's what the breaking of the bread is about. The breaking of the bread is mentioned 3 times in those 5 short verses. They gave themselves, devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. That's because the breaking of the bread is emblematic of the life of Christ. The breaking of the bread is emblematic of a life of forgiveness, a life of reconciliation, a life of humility, emblematic of a life of self-giving love. That's what the early church did. They broke bread together. They would come together on the first day of the week, but we are told day by day they would come together and they would break bread with glad hearts. They would share bread together. They would engage in the life of forgiveness, the life of reconciliation, and the life of self-giving love. In other words, they would devote themselves to the Easter life. And they were committed to living the Easter life. A life of giving and sharing and self-giving love. The church I grew up in was just a little small church, wasn't very big, not many people at all. In fact, not only was it not very big, we weren't even sure what denomination we were supposed to be. We started out being a Church of Christ, but I think the denomination just kind of gave up on us. You know, they heard strange tales of people doing things like speaking in tongues and stuff, and they didn't always, they didn't know what was going on. But we were, again, just a small little church made up of people from various backgrounds. Some of us lived in the city of Springfield. Some people came from a farming community nearby, and just, small. But I thank God for that little community of people. I'm privileged to grow up in that little church because they were the people who loved me and nurtured me and guided me and sacrificed for me. Without that little community of followers, that little community of Christians, I'm not quite sure that I would be here today. And I say that just to point out that what matters in a church is not how large you are, not how many people you may have, not how many programs you might have, not the kind of status that the church might afford you. None of those things matter very much. The thing that matters is whether or not the community is one that lives the Easter life. What matters is whether or not it's a community of sharing, a community of giving, a community that lives the Easter life, the community that practices resurrection. Jesus said in our gospel reading today, he says that he is the good shepherd. And he says he is the one who comes so that we might have life and have life in abundance. And I know that we have taken that little verse and we have, at least in our American context, distorted that. We made it one of the mainstay verses of a prosperity gospel. I remember talking to a woman of mine in the Bible study many, many years ago, and she recited that verse to justify her belief that God wanted to make her rich. Because that's what we think about here in when we think about abundance, we think about having more and more stuff. If I could just have more and more stuff, and God's job is to give me more and more stuff. But the kind of abundant life that Jesus is talking about is not necessarily a life where we have more and more stuff. The abundant life that Jesus is talking about is a life that has God at the center of it. It's life that looks like what the early apostles, the early followers of Jesus was living out. It's a life where we can share with each other, a life where we share our lives with each other, a life where we share our resources with each other. It's a life where we understand that it takes a community, a village, a community of people who are willing to share with each other. I'm not sure how long our world can survive where you have a few people that have a whole lot of stuff. And the vast majority of people who are just struggling to get by, and some people who have nothing. In fact, I'm not even sure how long our country can last, at least as a democracy. If you have people that have a whole lot of stuff and other people are struggling to get by, where the gap between those who have and those who don't have continue to get bigger and bigger, I'm not sure how long we can survive, at least as a democracy. But that's what you and I are about. That's what you and I are called to live out. We are called to be an Easter people. We are called to be a people of hope in the midst of our world. We are called to be the people who bear light and who shine the light of God's hope and God's kingdom in the midst of this world. A whole new way of living, a whole new way of being a community, of fellowshipping with one another, a way of sharing what we have so that there aren't any needy among us. The book of Acts says that day by day, God was adding to the number of those who were being saved. Day by day, people came and they saw this new Christian community and they saw the way they were living, and it said that they added. God added to the number of people who were being saved. And I know that when we hear that word saved, we often think about saved to go to heaven, and that's a big part of it. But being saved is more than that. Being saved is not just something that happens to us when we die, but being saved begins right now. The people who are being saved were being saved from the world in which they believe. That the most important thing is accumulating. The most important thing is getting. The most important thing is trying to get all we can get. They were being saved from that kind of world, from incessant consumption. They were being saved from that kind of world and living into the abundant life made available by the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The abundant life that they found in this new community where they didn't have to worry about their needs being taken care of because they were a part of a community of sharing. I'll close here with a story of one of my favorite people, Shane Claiborne. I've never met him, but he lived right here in Philadelphia. And he's a kind of a weird little guy. You ever seen pictures of him? You know, he always wears some kind of a bandana over his head, and he has a scraggly beard, and, you know, always wears, you know, T-shirts and jeans and just kind of a scraggly looking guy. But he's always devoted his life to a kind of ministry of sharing. Spent a lot of time in inner city Philadelphia trying to create ministries of people, of an eclectic group of people from the inner city to suburbs, and people just sharing their lives together. But he told a story about being in India. And when he was in India, he said they used to throw parties for the street children. A lot of street children in India, children who were living lives of very deep poverty, and they would throw these parties for street kids and one day a week. And, you know, the party would end with a dinner and fun and games, and the street children enjoyed it. But one time they were throwing this party, and one of the kids came up, about 10 years old, and he noted that it was his birthday. And so they said, "Oh, it's your birthday." And so for his birthday, they bought him an ice cream cone. And it was so rare for this kid to have an ice cream cone. All he could do for the first couple of minutes was just look at it. This ice cream cone, this goodness, all he could do was look at it. And then after a few minutes of looking at it, he called all the other kids over to him and he said, "Hey, look what I got." And he gave every kid a lick of his ice cream cone. So much goodness, he said, this is goodness that can't be contained just for me. This is a goodness that I've got to share. This is a goodness that I've got to share with everyone else. It's just not for me. And that's what the early church says. We've got this goodness that we want to share. This wonderful thing that has happened, this wonderful thing that has happened to us, to all of us, this wonderful thing that has happened to the world. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we are called to be this community of giving and sharing with others, sharing the joy of that good news with others. And it's that very joy and gladness of heart and that willingness to give and to share, which was the impetus for the Lord adding to their number day by day. Friends, let us be the Easter people that God has called us to be. Let us bear witness to the good news of the resurrection. Let us practice resurrection by being a community of sharing. Sharing our lives, sharing our resources, sharing our time, breaking bread together, and sharing the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he has shared everything with all of us. Let us pray. Gracious and giving God, we thank you this morning for all that you have given us. We thank you this morning for the gift of life itself, the gift of new life, of resurrection life, of Easter life. Help us to be your people who shine forth the glory of your new life into the midst of this world. Help us to be the giving, sharing people that you have called all of us to be. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.